Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
Call a doctor, Earl's bleeding. Try to pet my pit bull, Sam. That stupid moron, he knowed better. Now he's in the doctor's office and he don't got no friggin' hands.
Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Blabbercast.
No, this is the Jabbercast, and I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Why would you call it the Blabbercast?
I don't know. Because we're going to be blabbering.
Yeah, that's what we do all the time.
We just gave away a perfectly great name, too.
Well,
the Blabbercast.
I don't know if we gave it away. I mean, someone might already have that, you know?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
I'm just going to turn our cans down. Is that all right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And you can tell in GarageBand there's some kind of reverb.
Of course.
Of course. I don't know about that. So, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm going to break his legs.
Oh.
Hey, Joey. Hurry up with those piano legs.
You're gonna need Joey to break someone's legs.
Joey.
Because you couldn't swing a 2x4 to break someone's
Not
legs.
Not right now, no. I probably could with my left arm.
Oh, listen to that right. Guy.
I don't know if I can swing.
So much strength in his left arm, he could... break
Probably
someone's
not.
Legs with a 2x4.
I could snap your legs in 2 beats. Bob.
Name that bone breaking.
So what's going on around here?
Not too much.
Major golf action going on.
I felt like I just got home. Oh, wait a minute. I did just get home. And if you can't tell, I got some kind of lake effect in my sinuses.
Yeah. It's a good thing we're talking about cures and
cures.
Medicine today because...
Yeah.
You're going to need it.
Maybe. I don't feel sick or bad or anything. It just feels like... I don't feel tardy. But we slept by a lake, and one day while we were there... by the way, I went to Brooklyn, Michigan, where they hold the MIS races, and it's just a big madhouse there. My buddy called it a redneck convention.
Sweet.
And the one day it rained. I mean, it like rained forever, it seemed like. And so much water there, it was crazy. And the next morning I woke up and I just had this, I can't talk through my mouth kind of feeling. And then it just hasn't gone away yet. Kind of weird. But tons of fun. Golf. And there's a golf course in Brooklyn called Hills Heart of the Lakes. Golf course, I guess, is what it's called. And... the funny thing is, it's not called Hills because it's hilly there, because it is very hilly there. It's because the guy who owns the place is he's a U.S. PGA pro, and his name's Mike Hill.
Hmm.
And he's pretty accomplished. He's off the senior tour now. He's completely retired. He's 70 years old now. But that's why it's called Hills. Now, it's a family-run operation. And these people are the nicest people you could possibly meet. They give you all. They see that these same group of guys that I go with always show up, and they welcome them with open arms, and you know, give them glasses and
so they can see.
No, like different memorabilia. Every year they get something different from this golf course just for golfing there.
That's cool.
That's awesome. I think and so this course is just unbelievable. It's crazy. Like it's like a roller coaster, and it's immaculate. It's like golfing. On carpeting, like when you're, it's just so nice there. It's like you don't want to wreck anything, and so that's what I've been doing for the last few days.
Nice,
but the race is actually today. I hightailed it out of there before the actual race started. I guess it's just gets complete madness on race day.
And why didn't you stay for the race?
I'm not into that.
No. Come on, man. Why not?
Because it's this.
You like NASCAR?
No. It's like watching corn grow.
What about the pit bull races.
Pit, but the RB races.
The Red Bull.
Red Bull races.
You into that?
Well, that's interesting.
It's a little more exciting, I think.
Yeah, it's... well, if anybody doesn't know what the Red Bull races are happening this weekend in Windsor, Ontario, and they...
And nowhere else.
Well, no, I think they
not right now.
No, the Red Bull guys are here. They put these big, tall, 100-foot...
Red Bull cans? Talking. Oh, the pylons.
The pylons in the river, yeah. And the planes fly through them over the river.
Yeah, why watch cars go around in a circle when you can watch planes go back and forth?
Right. Well, it's...
But it's more exciting.
I think the planes are just as close to the people as those cars are to the people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see planes so close in
yeah.
the air.
Yeah, you can
and
see...
And low.
You can see the pilot of the plane, like, right there, and he's turning his plane sideways and coming, like, feet
yeah,
off the ground.
Yeah, they do some crazy stuff, yeah. I went by there yesterday, and it was just crazy busy.
Oh,
and
I bet.
The dry block. They made all this stuff down at the river there so that they could keep the drive open during all these... events they have, but they close the drive anyway.
You have to have some kind of permit, don't you, or something?
No, but well, to get through, I mean, walk or whatever, probably, but no vehicles can drive all the way down Riverside Drive.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Which is stupid.
Why?
Well, because people want to travel back and forth down the drive on the weekend, even though it's busy, so what?
Can't have that, because they have to have that clear, so that when the plane crashes into one of the buildings.
Yeah, okay.
There's a clear heading. You could just, I don't know. That seems really dangerous to me.
Doing what they do?
Flying planes
well,
down
I'm
the
sure
river
it is
with,
dangerous,
with
yeah.
two metropolitan built-up cities on either side.
Yeah. They actually built a tower, too, down there. I don't know if you saw that. There's a control tower.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. It's prefab type thing.
Red Bull City, they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome that Windsor scooped that up, because I think last year the some American entity paid for like whatever they got to pay for. There's a certain amount of money you got to spend to get that to come to your city, and they usually don't go back to the same place.
Right, but because this is a different country.
Yeah, I think they were digging the acceptance of the people from Windsor and how much they backed it, and it's a cool...
You for know, them too, don't forget they have it's, you know, well, two cities but two countries. They have, you know, instead of going to one place, they're actually getting two places out of this.
That's right,
you know, business wise
exactly.
So however that works, well, you know, Lana's away, she's in Europe mm-hmm. till next week. Her brother passed away just a couple of nights ago, right. 51 years old.
So he was in remission for a while.
I don't know if it was so much remission as, you know, he was getting chemo and it wasn't progressing or anything really, you know, like his blood markers and everything was really good. And then just it got worse. And over a short period of time, like over a couple of weeks or so, you know what I mean? It was just like went downhill. So he didn't suffer long, you know. So
Lana left immediately?
Yeah, she left right away. Took her to Windsor Airport, three airplanes there. Wow. One to Toronto, from Toronto to Germany, Germany to Dubrovnik.
And that's
and I think that's the end of the trip there. And they get picked up there.
So do you know how long she's going to be there?
She'll be back next Sunday.
Oh, okay. So she's going to spend some time with the family while she's there?
So she'll spend time with the family, yeah. I actually, I thought I'd give a couple of days, and then I called today, and she left her brothers and went to her parents, and they're not there yet, so.
Okay.
Waiting for that. And so she's not here for the Jeff and Lana show on the Big 30, so Mike Downs filled in on Sunday, and next week I think Terry's going to fill in.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Good show. The new show's up, and I interviewed actually Lana's niece, Nina Letty. She's going to Tisch. She got accepted to Tisch, and
right.
First time anybody around here has ever got accepted, and it was a really good interview. So that'll be up sometime this afternoon.
You're a good interviewer, and she is definitely a good subject, I'm sure.
Yeah, she was really good. I was really impressed. She does everything pretty well, you know what I mean, anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, she's talks well on her subject and talks well anyway, you know.
Right.
And it was a really good interview.
When she's on, she knows it, and she's, I'm on. Hey, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, that's the actress thing, maybe. I don't know. But I got her so. Early in the morning, so.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good.
Awesome. So that's the Big 30.
That's the Big 30, show number 7 up today.
You're on a roll.
And on a roll, man.
How many episodes are in a season?
I don't know.
You gave me a number before.
Yeah, I think I thought it was less than what it really is. I think it's like 20. I'm going to say 25 or 26.
I say 26. That would be considered a long season. 13 is a...
Well, it's right. It's four a month for a six-month period. So
right.
There you go. 24. Right. Add it up, folks. By the way, I want to mention, too, you probably didn't hear our intro. Anything at the beginning of the show, if anybody's...
listening on Ustream,
and you won't hear the Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, any of our IDs or anything. For some reason, our music's not pumping through.
I'm wondering if it's because I'm pumping out of the same computer we're recording in GarageBand. I wonder if GarageBand has anything.
Well, but
to do
it picks
with
us up, so it should pick anything up that's in that board.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't make any sense at all, but it's got to be some little switch or something.
Little switch.
Yeah, just some little thing, and we'll figure it out for the next show, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll get here at about 6 or 7.
I'll try to figure it out on my own and, and work through it.
Bird's on the ladder today.
I'm surprised he hasn't knocked the ladder down.
She can do some painting or something while he's on the ladder. Hey, I finally finished my book to screenplay conversion.
Woohoo!
And I submitted it already to the big contest.
And remind our listeners and me what the contest is.
The contest is one of the biggest. It's 10-year running through Final Draft, which is like the biggest or one of the biggest two software companies for screenwriting software.
Oh, cool.
And the deadline was Monday. And I just got it done. Somebody edited for me, and I submitted yesterday, last night.
Oh, so the deadline is like tomorrow?
Deadline's tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So just making it. And I got another one that a deadline is tomorrow as well, 12 noon. And I'm trying to finish. And it's for a comedy short for the Fox Network. Oh, and yeah. I have something I want to submit, which was complete, but it was done as an animation and a 7-minute short.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10-minute short. And it needs to be 30 minutes. So I got to add about another 20 pages and turn it into, real life thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that.
You are into the gun there, buddy.
Only got today. And then there's another really big one I'm going to submit the same, my full length one too. But that's the end of that is, the deadline's November.
Is this a normal way that, media outlets or companies like this get original?
This is one of the things, the contests are really good. And then also there are places where you can find out about production companies and stuff looking and studios looking for
content,
scripts.
Yeah, ideas and stuff. Sure.
So either one of those ways, but you know, some of the things you don't have to, like submitting the Fox, there's no charge for it or anything, but the other one is $65 American.
Now, what's the charge for?
I don't know. It probably, you know, you win something substantial, and I'm sure that's got to be, like, they have big sponsors, but also right. It's like $30,000 and a deal with such and such picture company and the software and all kinds of other things. Like, okay. You win a lot.
All right.
So I would imagine that gets pooled into all that, and plus it's an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hollywood for the whole big thing they do and the convention and workshops, and you know what I mean? It's pretty huge. It's pretty cool.
Well,
if
you end up going to L.A., you got to take me so we can do the show.
Well, maybe. Unless Lana makes me take her. I'm sure she'd want to go to that.
I think
she's into all that stuff.
Of course she is. I'm just joking.
But unfortunately, she wasn't here to edit my manuscript for me. That would have been good because she's done screenplays for school.
Right.
And I had a magazine writer do mine for me. But I noticed, though, that from having my book edited and by a grammar teacher and having my screenplay done by a magazine article writer, that all the things, like, they're similar, what they tell you, like their feedback and their, the things that they outline that are wrong and what you should do and, you know, things that you don't realize with grammar and, you know, those things. Yeah, you know, they all know the same stuff.
Okay, I thought you said it was going to be a different thing, but mm-hmm. You're saying it's interesting that...
It's interesting that it's all the same, yeah.
It's all the same from two different...
Somebody knows, you know, how these things should go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
Especially from a writer's point of view, it's pretty good when they're in the know. It's
cool. Well, now you know.
Now I know. So what's next here? Are we going to do some real news?
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Here we are in the newsroom. And what do you want to talk about this week, Big J? Do you want to talk about political stuff, just regular human interest news, or?
Well, you can talk about anything you want.
Oh, okay.
Here, Congress sends Obama bill to regulate tobacco.
See, to politics. I love that.
There you go.
To regulate tobacco, though. What? Isn't that already
Congress done? On Friday sent to the White House legislation that gives the federal government vast new powers to regulate and restrict cigarettes, the single largest cause of preventable death. So now the FDA will be able to take out some of the bad stuff in cigarettes. I don't know how that...
Is that you know, what it is? It is?
Basically, yeah.
I'm thinking they're going to implement the same kind of restrictions they have over here. Like, you can't even... If you go to a store to buy a cigarette package in Canada, you don't see any cigarettes in any store ever. There's something that's for sale in our stores in the whole country, and you never see a pack of cigarettes in any store.
Right.
They're all hidden away somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how that part of it works, but the FDA would require tobacco companies to reveal the contents of their products, and they'd have to seek approval for marketing new products. And it gives the FDA power to order changes to ingredients, including tar and nicotine, to protect public health. So,
it's the largest cause of preventable death. I thought it was heart disease.
Smoking is responsible for more than 30% of all cancer deaths, says Dr. Douglas Blaney. He's president of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. The bill, he said, should have a huge impact on reducing the death and disease brought on by tobacco use.
Okay. So
30% of all cancer deaths.
I think in like 50 years, I think our kids are going to be saying, I remember when people used to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, they'll be smoking something else.
Well, they'll always be smoking something else. But
what if they did take something out of cigarettes? Like, what if they took out like tar altogether out of cigarettes? Would you notice? Would it taste different? Would it affect you differently? What is it? You know what I mean?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll bet you not.
What if they took the nicotine out? What? You know what I mean? What happens? You can still smoke it and it's still going to be,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the same thing. But what happens when you take the nicotine out? And that's what everybody's addicted to, is the nicotine, basically. And what happens if you just take it out 100%? Like, there is no nicotine in cigarettes.
Right. It's like taking caffeine out of coffee or something.
See, there's another thing that we're going to just do. You know, we might not as well not even get on the boat. Nicotine-less cigarettes. Big JD and Lippo brand.
Nicotine-less.
J&L. J and M. L and O.
Does it have to be an and? Can't you just go JM?
Well, you could.
Smoke some JMs.
Yeah, let's do some JMs, baby. I don't know, but nicotine-less cigarettes, we'd be the biggest thing going.
That's the whole thing. If
what?
If there's no nicotine in them, people aren't going to...
Everybody will smoke them. Everybody will want them.
You think?
Everybody wants to stop smoking. Anybody that smokes wants to stop smoking. I don't care what anybody tells you.
Right.
They don't want to smoke. They're hooked. You're all hooked.
But they're hooked because of the nicotine. So I'm saying, if you took nicotine out of cigarettes, people would have one and go, yeah, that's a cigarette. Okay, I've had one of those.
They don't want the nicotine. They don't want to smoke anymore.
Then they won't want to smoke anymore. Then smoking will be gone.
Yeah, probably.
That's what I'm saying. You take the nicotine
Government would kill us.
The government would kill us. Well, they would lose money, that's for sure.
Yeah. They don't want us taking cigarettes with no nicotine.
Tobacco.
Or do they? Why are they doing all this?
Well, I think it's like everything. They don't want to just...
They don't want to make it look like they want to kill everybody. Yeah, right, exactly. Give everybody whatever, you know, whatever's going to make the money, but...
Slowly making it so that nobody gets hurt too badly. Because obviously there's a big tax stream with tobacco. It's one of the biggest taxed items, along with, you know, gas and liquor and all that kind of stuff.
And this all falls right in. Do you have any other news or anything that you want to talk about? This falls right in with our show today, actually. Cures and medicine and everything.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, let's say something else then, okay?
Yeah, let's say something else. What do you got?
Let's not just...
Here's another one that's probably related. I just see a headline, how to avoid mindless snacking. It just sounds funny. Mindless snacking. But I guess it has to do with learning how to distinguish hunger from emotional eating.
Whoever would thought that people have emotional eating, period.
Oh, I think, yeah. A high percentage of people.
like 100 years ago. Was there emotional eating 100 years ago?
Oh, I'm sure there was, but I don't think they knew what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the availability...
Maybe not as much as now.
Yeah, I think the availability of, you know, prepackaged snack stuff.
And plus all the more problems that people have nowadays than, you know what I mean? When there's more in the world, there's more problem, you know what I mean? Back then, there wasn't, maybe it wasn't the money, there wasn't the, you know, big families and jobs and have the, you know what I mean? The same kind of stuff that you have to worry about and go through emotional...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, for sure.
Ups and downs and absolutely. Things like that, and eat because of it. And I'm just as much a prey as anybody.
And what is this? This is a way to distinguish. Or they're telling you here.
Yeah, it's a video or something on one of the news pages here on how to avoid mindless snacking. I just saw it in one of the headlines, right. And then American Medical Association wary of Obama health insurance plan and health care reform pitch gets personal. But we wanted to get away from a little bit of this.
Is there a cure for mindless snacking? I just want to look that up later on. Mindless snacking. I love the saying, mindless snacking.
Just he's snacking mindless. You can't stop him.
Oh, boy. Did you know that the Pittsburgh Penguins won this World Series? The World Series, the Stanley Cup.
Sweet. Who got the final basket?
That was Magic Johnson.
Yeah, right. He's still around or did he kick?
No, he hasn't kicked yet. Okay. He's still around. We
because he's magic.
At our campsite, there's no electricity, no plumbing at this place we're at. But we did have trailers.
Where we're at right now.
Where we were at. Okay. We did have generators, though.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter, the guy who had his trailer I stayed in, brought a 32-inch...
I don't know if I'd want to stay in a trailer with a guy named Peter. Okay.
Right. And the night of the game... Took the TV up, fired up the generator, and plugged the TV into the trailer because you need, for things that draw that much juice, you need a lot of power. So you got to use a generator. Whereas lights, you just have batteries. That's fine. And big screen TV outside the trailer. People People driving by. All of a sudden, we had a crowd around at our trailer. Everybody's watching the game. It was beautiful because it was HD. It was the day that HD was mandatory, basically. So you knew you were getting a nice, crisp screen. It was awesome.
Nice. Yeah. You don't want to miss that game, that's for sure.
The JD. He's not a sports fan, that's for sure.
But I know who Peter is. Peter is the one that had the EMAC.
No.
No?
That's Dan.
Different Peter, then.
That's his brother, Dan, the singer in my band.
Peter is?
Yeah.
That you were with?
Yeah,
Peter. That's the same guy then.
Peter is Dan's brother.
The one that had that EMAC. The old EMAC that I have it now. My brother has it.
Peter never had an EMAC. He had an iMac.
Oh, an old... Oh, right. What they called an iMac that went to the EMAC. Same type of thing.
Oh, shape, same form.
The blue thing. The blue. Old blue computer.
It was blue, yeah.
Because I remember from the password, whole password madness thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's the guy.
Peter.
Yeah, that's Peter. Exactly.
Okay.
He's the guy Peter who he went from PC to Mac.
Didn't not like back. It. Not
then,
back.
Then he went back to PC.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And you went away with him? Well, that blows. Why is that?
I don't know. He just...
wasn't into it? Or well, he had a bad old machine, that's for sure.
Yeah. There's no explaining Peter Taylor, that's for sure.
Good golfer?
Yes, he's a good golfer.
Brother good too?
Yes, probably even better. But Peter was pretty good, but he got in a bad accident this past winter. Broke his hip.
Oh.
So he got all stapled back or whatever they do, nail screw you together.
Again. And he's about golfing again, though.
He's out golfing again, though.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's awesome. There was an election in Iran. Did you know that?
Yeah.
One of the evil powers, evil axis.
Is anybody happy with it?
The guy who got elected.
Yeah. That's how it is.
And all his drones. What's that?
He won't last long.
You don't think so?
No, somebody's going to kill him.
I don't think he can get near these people.
Yeah, I don't know.
These wackos.
An election in Iran. Oh, yeah. Iran. Okay, that's not so bad. I keep thinking Iraq.
Oh, well, Iraq. That's going good, didn't you know?
I think they're changing the whole name of Iraq to Iraq. You heard it here first on the Jabbercast.
Iraq. But wouldn't you agree that these guys, Mujahideen and the guy in Korea, North Korea, you can't get near those people, you think? Because all their cronies know that if someone gets close to these guys, they're gone. And if they're gone, I'm done.
Yeah.
So They're not sane people. And was there another piece of news that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned? Oh, Monday, we can talk about that on the tech talk part. I was going to say the Apple keynote thing that we still have to do something else.
All right, I'm ready to rock and roll on that.
Tomorrow, for sure. Let's do it. But anyway, we can get into the Cure thing.
Okay. So, give us some cures.
Hold your breath to cure the hiccups.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
No.
What else is there?
That's silly.
That's it. No. That's it. That's all there is.
I know you have something. As far as how do you want to talk about cures?
We can talk about some home remedies. We can talk about a little bit about the history of medicine itself. All human societies have medical beliefs that provide explanations for birth, death, and disease throughout history. Illness has been attributed to witchcraft, demons, adverse astral influence, or the will of the gods. These ideas still retain some power, and with faith healing, shrines, and those are still used in some places, although the rise of scientific medicine over the past millennium has altered or replaced many of the old beliefs. So a lot of the old beliefs would be like our home remedies today, holistic
things,
and homeopathic.
I was just looking at homeopathic remedies. I didn't realize that homeopathic remedies are stuff that's diluted. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing about homeopathic is the dilution of
so less
preparations.
Potency, I guess. But wouldn't you want it more potent? Or then does that lead more towards conventional medicine?
I think so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the whole deal. And as opposed to holistic, mm-hmm. which I thought were kind of similar in a way, but they're not at all. Holistic is more of a natural... way to...
Holistic usually is an approach to something more so than a medication, I think. You know what I mean, isn't it?
You're telling me, man.
Yeah, homeopathic always seems to me to be a homeopathic remedy or something is you would actually take a pill or something like that. But holistic things are always... they seem to be the things like the stones or the faith healing type things, energy stuff, you know what I mean? A holistic approach, like a natural cure for something as opposed to taking, you know.
Like shaga.
I guess, I don't know. That would be, I don't know, is that holistic or is that homeopathic?
I think
let's find out what the real difference is between the two.
How do you take shaga? By pill? Is it a pill form? Ooga shaga, ooga shaga.
Shaga is a liquid.
Okay.
I don't know if you can get it in other forms or whatever, but it's what it really is a mushroom extract. He wants some tea from the intern.
Jonas the intern, who wears his Jimi Hendrix shirt to bed.
Holistic means that you can look at the whole person as a whole person with a mind, body, and spirit and treat this rather than just looking at separate parts and trying to treat the symptoms. This way never really works in so-and-so's opinion. Naturopathy can encompass the practice of homeopathy, herbal medicine, acupuncture, dietary advice. You see, that's the kind of thing that I was thinking, like more the hands-on kind of stuff.
Right. It's funny that holistic has the word whole, but it's H-O-L and not
whole. Right. For treating your whole body, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They think that everything can be fixed by, you know, doing something to the whole body. And then there's homeopathy, complementary therapy that aims to treat symptoms, the actual symptom of the illness, with preparations called remedies. So basically I was right.
Of course.
I just didn't, it was a tough one to explain, I guess, unless you actually, you know, I just kind of knew, I guess, from...
Your past training.
All that, yeah, and that's a long past to go.
Too bad you couldn't cure yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about that type of cure, the chiropractic, which hasn't been around for, you know, as long as holistic approaches or even probably homeopathic approaches.
Hasn't it?
Chiropractic? You think they've been...
Maybe without that name, but do you think they did something to crack somebody's back or do something like that, like in the past in thousands of years ago. Oh, he fixed me, you know, he pushed on my back and, you know, I'm sure there was something. Somebody must have found that out, or that they leaned back over something and got a snap out of their back, or who knows.
Maybe. I guess. I suppose.
I would have to think that there was something.
I would think so too.
Cracking knuckles. You know what I mean? Whatever it was, they knew that.
Because if there's one part of medicine that doctors and people researching medicine would know about, would be the bones. Because you know, somebody dies and that's what they leave, and they say, "Oh, look at this. Here's a perfect set of bones." You know, and that would be something easy to study, as opposed to studying heart or brain, or you know, you can't do that on someone while they're living, but I'm sure they did.
But chiropractors, I don't think in a lot of cases, chiropractors get the recognition that they should. They get kind of tend to get looked down upon because of their homeopathic approach and their holistic approach from, you know, mainstream medicine and doctors, and you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's unfortunate because they I can live without mine. I know that.
Because you're doing so well now with your chiropractor. No, I'm just kidding.
I can't. He fixes me all the time.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that everything, I mean, it's not his fault that everything goes back out of whack. But boy, do I feel good when I leave there.
Of course, yeah.
But there's some things I can't really do anything for. I mean, you know, there's not a lot I can do for my shoulder. And especially if it's, you know, muscular kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Soft tissue stuff, yeah.
Dislocation that can't be put back. I mean, you know what I mean? They can only do,
right,
you know, to a certain degree of what they can do. But for your, I think for your neck and your back, you know, your spine and all that stuff, it's great. It's the best, you know, and your hips and everything, all that stuff that they, I think they can do a whole world of good for. Absolutely. As opposed to like, you know, your arm or your elbow or your, you know what I mean?
Yes.
More so things that I've never had anything done to, like fingers or anything like that, you know, like, but I imagine they can do things like that too. Things that crack easy, like are, can be moved, like that you can't do yourself, you know, or you're afraid of.
Right. And the whole thing is you if you have a healthy spine, you know, all the nerves that are in there that go to every
You're part more pain free. That's for sure.
Yeah. So if you can have no pressure and optimal movement within your spine, you're going to supposedly be a healthy person, in those regards. And it's funny how different chiropractors use different schools of
techniques.
You know, there's people who are totally hands-on and they, you know, they treat you like a big ball of clay, or and then there's my chiropractor who just uses a little activator thing and kind of
does use the hand one, just a little handheld thing, or is it a big machine
handheld?
Because my chiropractor now has the what's it called now, the Pro Adjuster
machine. 2000.
You sit on it and everything, and it's hooked up to a computer, and it uses a whole cable and everything and does that. But it tells him when things are right. He can go through and check everything and see if it's right or wrong, and then adjust accordingly all your little parts in your body.
Is this the Smith chiropractor? The
Pro Adjuster. No, no, he's not a chiropractor, but Smith got a brother that's a chiropractor or something? That's physiotherapist.
Oh, right. Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith, sorry. No,
Dr. Irwin Gemmel.
Gemmel.
He's great, man. I've been going to him for 25 years. 26, I think. Regularly.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you're like 4 years old, you're going to him?
Yep. You got it.
Boy, your parents are good. took it to old Dr. Gemmel.
So yeah, he's been a godsend for me, I got to say. And people that think, you know, oh, I'm never going to go to a chiropractor. I'm going to, you know, or you heard a story from somebody that said, don't ever go to a chiropractor. Well, you know, you go to a walk-in clinic chiropractor maybe, but go to somebody who's been around for a long time and knows their stuff, man, because they're good.
Doctors who are, you know, accredited from a medical thing, they're, most of them are not thinking that chiropractors can do you any good. Oh, that's nice that you go see him, you know. I know that if I
come and see me when you want the real deal, you know, whatever.
You know, I mention it to my doctor, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's good if it if that's good for you, you know, if you find that that's doing something for you, that's good. You know, they totally, you know, write it off basically.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, the good thing about my family doctor is his brother is a chiropractor, so he doesn't really write it off.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So that's good.
And I'm sure he gets razzed. No, you couldn't become a real doctor, could you? You had to become a chiropractor.
And I'm sure he gets his back cracked, too, by him.
Maybe. Or maybe he just takes a whole bunch of meds.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you crack my back. You know, you could break someone's back, and I could have permanent brain damage because of that.
I did, actually, in my chiropractor's office is also a, it's called Genesis Health Center.
And, I think you forget the thing.
That's right. My massage therapist is in there. And I just, I recently did an interview with my massage therapist, and that's going to be on the big 30, I think, in about a week or two or something like that.
And do you do the interview while you're on the table?
No.
You should.
Yeah.
And get a video
camera. That'd be kind of neat. But there are some interesting things I didn't realize about, you know, and asking what's the oddest place on the body that a massage therapist would do massage. And it was pretty surprising to me, but you have to wait for the show.
I will listen to it as soon as it comes out. The Big 30 is a great show. I like the,
thanks.
The, you know,
diversity,
the diversity and of the whole show. Yeah. It goes from here to there and back to
and everywhere and else.
Back to rock and roll.
Speaking
usually.
Of everywhere else.
Yeah.
What's going on with everywhere else?
What do you mean? What's going on with everywhere
I'm
else?
I'm waiting for, you didn't come out with a new show yet.
Oh, Borders. Oh yeah. We've been kicking them out steady. What? You haven't seen them?
No.
Oh yeah. It must be something wrong with my feed. Steady. My feed must be screwed up. Bad feed. I forgot to change the date.
So when the feed's fixed, we should get a bunch of new shows.
Oh, bam. You'll just come out one after the other. Or you can just go to the website and download them.
I really dig the reverb.
That we're listening
makes
to.
Makes me want to grab the guitar and...
oh, sure, yeah. I'm not digging it myself. I kind of don't
No,
like
I don't it. Dig it.
No. Sorry about that. We got about...
what do we got?
Two-thirds of the show is already completed.
We're just flying along. We'll come back with Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
You like hard rock? You like heavy metal? Then you're going to love Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. Extremely heavy blues. Hard rock, heavy metal blues.
Out in the backwoods of Tennessee, with a man named Curtis Jones.
If you like it loud and in your face, then you're going to dig the hard rock, heavy blues of Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. Their debut double-length CD is available now at Amazon.com, the iTunes Store, and other fine online music retailers.
So you go your way and I go mine.
It's Long Time Coming and Heavy Effin' Blues together on one CD. You're going to dig the JDBC, Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. Heavy rock, heavy metal, heavy hitting.
You say you wanna leave.
The blues, the way you really want it. Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. An indie release from OSM Entertainment.
How blue can you get when nothing goes your way?
Available at Amazon.com, the iTunes Store, and other online music retailers.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig, brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
All righty. For those of you that didn't hear anything for a couple minutes there, we had some commercial IDs and...
On Ustream, you mean?
On Ustream, right.
I don't even know if there's anybody even chit-chatting there or not.
This week's song is by Don Lang. I don't know if you know who Don Lang is.
Mutt's brother?
From way back. Who?
Mutt Lang.
No, it's not. He's from the UK. His son was a session bass player for... Wham, among other groups. And he, Don, was actually a trombone player on, I think, one song on the Beatles' White Album, Revolution, one of the odd Revolution things, number 9 or whatever, like the one that's, you know what I mean? And this is a song called Witch Doctor.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that...
Hey, love me true. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me nice. And then the witch doctor, he gave me this advice. He said that ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ding, dang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ding, dang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ding, dang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ding, dang, walla, walla, bang, bang. You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy who's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, ting, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, ting, walla, walla, bing, bang. Just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy who's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Oh, baby. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, 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 walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, ting, walla, walla, bing, bang. Come on. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, 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 walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, ting, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, 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 walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, ting, walla, walla, bing, bang. Come on. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, 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 walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, ting, walla, walla, bing, bang.
Wow, that's an interesting tune.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have. I remember that's like an oldie. Like,
I remember from when I was a kid or something.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, me too. Interesting, that little voice at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's
on high speed there, yeah, like high speed chipmunk.
I don't know exactly how they did that back in those days.
Probably sped it up.
But it's got to keep.
Oh, it's got to keep time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how they did that
way.
But,
you like a key change, eh?
Right after the first course, and then it stayed there. Uh-huh. Which is kind of a different musical tale. I thought it was going to go somewhere. I thought it was going to come back down or whatever. And then it went into like a blues progression. Came out of the bridge, and then it went to the four, then the five, came back to the one. I'm like, well, listen to that. But that's Don Lang with the Witch Doctor. That was one of those novelty songs, I remember.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if it was on the radio. I don't know how I ever
something that would have been on a KTEL album with the Monster Mash or something. I think, you know, all those goofy songs.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. But back in those days, back in the old days, they used to play those kind of songs.
That's pretty good.
You know what I mean? Like that would actually be on CKLW. They'd stick in the novelties.
Yeah, yeah. Same with the Monster Mash too.
The Monster
Mash. Just be on there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then School's Out came out from Alice Cooper, and then they just changed everything. No, I'm just kidding. Because that's kind of a novelty song, but they play that, you know.
What, School's Out?
School's Out, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it gets played a lot, right? You know,
super popular-ish kind of song, yeah. More so than just, you know, you think of it more than just a regular rock song, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
What about Sunday morning tech talking thing, Benji?
Already?
I don't know. We've only got 12.
Okay, let's get into it.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
So what do you want to talk about this week?
You didn't have like a gadget or something? Or
I didn't necessarily have a gadget, but I was just going to mention, talk a little about GPS. Did we talk about GPS really on the show?
I know we've talked about our GPS units.
Yeah, and that's what
at some point in time.
It's good to talk about how cool GPS units are and the fact that they do a lot more than just GPS, which is really cool. So, you know, if somebody's interested in a GPS and they also don't already have, you know, like a music player and, you know, some type of a picture viewer like an iPod that does all those things. Mm-hmm. the GPSs do a lot of different things. They'll play MP3s and you can view pictures on them. You of course got your GPS, and I think I'm not sure if they have do they hold contact information and stuff like that, or other files, do you know?
Not that I know. No.
They're pretty cool.
And the one we have also is a Bluetooth device.
And a Bluetooth device, right?
So it does your hands-free calling in the car while you're driving.
And what's cool about it also is it's a portable GPS, so you can use it in the car and then you can take it, put it in your pocket. So if you go someplace out of town or whatever, and you're just walking around or whatever, or you know, you have to take a cab someplace, or you're on the bus lines or the subway, I mean, you have a GPS. It's going to help you with, and not only just like coordinates. A lot of people think, well, I don't understand a GPS, and it's maps, and it's, you know what I mean, but places of interest and all those kind of things, a lot of them are preloaded, or you can add points of interest, and you know, these things all it'll just tell you how to get there.
Exactly. Yeah. What was I gonna say? Oh, the whole maps thing, like it's not, so you don't ever have to pull a map out again. I mean, if you're
exactly
it
sure.
doesn't only tell you where you're going and how to get to a specific place, but you can pull it out and go to a map of some place and just use it as, you know, a reference point.
Sure.
You may not have to be going there or anything. You just want to see the layout of the land at any given spot.
And if you're afraid, thinking that, you know, I don't understand maps or read maps, or I got to know the keys, symbols, and, you know, it'll speak. They'll also speak and tell you where, you know, to turn and where to, you know.
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Yeah, I just assume everybody kind of
knew. I don't know if everybody knows, or maybe now, you know, people are understanding more and more what GPS is, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't understand GPS or what it is or what it does.
Sure.
Or, you know, they just think, well, that's for, you know,
geeks
guys
like
that are
you.
Hunting or something, in the, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Sure.
Which it's great for, I'm sure, too, but, you know, and it'll map out a direction for you that you've taken. You can, you know, map out a direction that you're going in the woods somewhere to get back out.
Yes.
So that's what the importance always had been for hunters and boaters.
Well. Yeah.
Fishermen and women.
There's also if we're just talking about GPS technology in general, there's the whole golf GPS units too, the handhelds. So those have also been input into some database. I know SkyCaddy is one of the companies that makes a golf GPS, and you just, if the course that you're golfing at is on the database, you put it in there and you go golf, and your ball, it'll tell you where your ball is in relationship to the front of the green, to sand traps, to water, you know.
How does it know where your ball is, though? I mean, when you hit a ball, you can use your GPS to find it?
Yeah, you stand next to your ball, and it knows that you're standing there, and it knows exactly where the middle of the green is, the front of the green, the back of the green, sand traps, and water.
Yeah, but how does it know where your ball went?
Well, you're standing next to it. You stand next to it, you hit it, and then when you go stand next to your ball again, that's when you take the reading. How far away am I from the green? Because I'm standing next to my ball.
Oh, where you are with your ball in relation to.
Yeah.
I was thinking where your ball is in relation to you after you've hit it.
No,
did it go over here? Did it go over there? Lost it. Can I find it?
No, it's not a device to use.
Unless you use one of the balls that has a little tracking device in it.
And beeps at the same time.
Yeah. Beep, beep.
Those are nice to have, honestly. I've golfed with people who have them, you know, and they pull up next to you in their car and they say, "Hey, Mike, you're 119 to the middle." Oh, geez, thanks a lot. And, you know,
I'm not that old.
You grab the right club, and it's nice to have, that's for sure.
Grab the right club, and it's
nice. What's that all about?
What's that all about?
Is that must be me. No, it's not me.
I'm guessing it has something to do with the Ustream thing.
It's not me.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm not broadcasting through, and we're hearing us double whammy.
Are you sure? You don't have Ustream on the Jabbercast page on right now?
Sure.
It shows that I should hit it to start playing.
Okay.
And now I've hit it.
Okay. And now I've hit it.
And now I'm going to put it back on pause. Okay. It's gone now, but that was weird. Because it had the play button for me to actually hit play, you know what I mean? Because it was paused.
Anyway.
Could be the computer. It's been known to act up.
Sure. I wonder why.
And speaking about tech and gadgets,
yes.
Tech Talk, some big new releases from Apple.
Apple, yeah. Would they make what? Computers?
No, they make fruit.
They make fruit.
you probably want to check out the Easy Mac podcast for some updates on the recent keynote at the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yeah, but don't check it out yet because we haven't talked about it yet.
That's right. You want to wait for a couple days. And yeah. But check out the Easy Mac podcast for all you Mac owners.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff announced. Check it out, easymacpodcast.com.
Let's maybe let listeners know what's coming up on our show next week on the Jabbercast. Let's see. You can find the right page here.
And I was just there. You were just there.
Yeah, I know. I got so many tabs open. Next week should be a fun show. It's TV Today. We have discussed nostalgic shows on the Jabbercast, but what about some of the shows that are out now? Are they any good?
TV sucks.
Some are good, some are bad. What we think of shows that are out nowadays, sitcoms, and is any show a sitcom?
Shitcom?
Are they all sitcoms? What is like Family Guy? What is that?
Family Guy is
animated. It's a TV series. Is it comedy? A sitcom? Is Two and a Half Men a sitcom? Or is it a comedy? Or what?
No, a sitcom is situation comedy. So there's no situation. Like Roseanne was a sitcom, and Everybody Loves Raymond was a sitcom. You know, there's
some situation of
that. Yeah. Whereas
Seinfeld wasn't a sitcom then. Or was it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they never had situations on there. It was like a show about nothing.
Yeah, that was the
their
unsituation comedy. The unsitcom.
Okay. Anyway, TV Today. So that'll be fun. And you can visit us on the web at www.thejabbercast.com. You can email us at hearmeoutofthejabbercast.com, or you can leave us a message on the...
My Chingo widget, which is also at the same place on our webpage there.
That's right. Single page for everybody's ease of use.
Just talk into your computer and we'll get your message.
Play. You don't even have to hit a button, nothing. Just go to the page and talk.
No, you do have to hit the record a message. Or it just says leave us a message, I think is the actual wording of the button. And the studio audience goes crazy. Polite. Oop.
Okay, so what's next on the show here?
We're going to give the awesome quote that you researched.
Oh, the Jabber quote. Sweet. Alrighty, this week's Jabber quote brought to us by
Stephen Larry, fine purveyors of homeopathic and holistic cures. Made to make you feel better every day.
So this quote from Cicero.
Cicero. Yeah. There's a guy who's a famous Greek philosopher.
In nothing do men more nearly approach the gods.
Whoa, that was a lot what you just said there. You have to think about
it. That's it.
Say it again. Say it slowly.
In nothing do men more nearly approach the gods.
That's like Yoda speaking there, isn't it?
Yeah, how'd Yoda...
In nothing do men...
Does he talk like that a little bit, Leota?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
In nothing do men more approach...
I don't know. In nothing do men more nearly approach the gods than in giving health to men.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So...
Close as you can get to God giving another man health.
Yeah, that's the best way. As close as you can get. That's a better way of putting it.
What does that mean?
That means that he thinks that as opposed to... singing to somebody or putting somebody in a trance or making love to or whatever somebody else, the best way that you can be more godly to another man is to give him health.
Play God. To give health to another man.
To give health.
Give health. Yeah. Help, cure, whatever, that
right.
type of thing. Yeah, cool. And there's a couple other ones that I thought were pretty neat, and they had to do with the cost side of, like, you know, medicine, surgery, whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
I got the bill for my surgery. Now I know what those doctors were wearing masks for.
Mm.
And another one, a hospital should also have a recovery room adjoining the cashier's office.
That sounds like a Dean Martin joke.
And a little one of these. There you go.
That isn't showing on your laptop at all times.
No.
Okay.
I could probably make all my windows small enough to, you know, but I need, I'm low on real estate here.
Low.
15 on inches.
Well,
that's some, never mind. So anyway, I guess that wraps up this week's show.
Any final words on cures? If you had to say, wrap it up.
If I had to wrap it up with anything?
Yeah.
Be healthy, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.